righty, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Gonna lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, delve into some sports, some wagering, and more with our special guest. Does a terrific job, covers all of it as your hostess with the mostest of the Daily Tip right here, 7 to 9 a.m. weekdays. On Twitter, follow along. The handle is out, Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, much appreciate you joining our show. How's life back there in the 615?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think this is the only time I will be called the hostess with the mostest, because I am not very domestic. So I appreciate the one only time in life that, you know, I will get that moniker.
All right, well, we'll make a note of it. July 22nd at 3:30 on the West Coast. So as a first-time guest, I like to get a picture. I know you're based in Nashville, but that's not where your story began. So, for example, I'm from North Jersey. I date to a million years ago when Joe Namath was Jets quarterback. So where are you from, and who were maybe the teams or players that first got you to realize that sports was your thing and a possible career path?
Yeah, I'm actually from Nashville. So this is where I was born and raised. I went to NC State. I was a swimmer there, and I was on the track to become a lawyer. But my senior year, I thought to myself, wow, this is really boring, and I have four more years that I have to do of this. So I picked up writing for the school newspaper. I wrote for the sports section. I really liked it. And so, you know, I called an audible my senior year. I started writing for the newspaper in Raleigh. I covered ACC sports. And from there, I started doing some TV spots. So it was a long and winding road, had several stops in local TV. And then I even had, like, a break in the action to where my husband played Major League Baseball. So I quit for 3 years to follow him around. And then I was kind of just feeling a little lost because I didn't have anything for myself. So he was with the AAA team in Las Vegas. And so I was looking for side work. And this is back when gambling was kind of under the table. Like, it wasn't like the main thing that it is now. This was probably 6 years ago. So I started doing hosting for a gambling show. And little did I know that gambling would absolutely blow up, you know, over the next few years. And so when all these programs needed somebody who had sports acumen and gambling acumen, because these are not, you know, exactly the same things, it felt like I was in a really good spot. So I am thankful that I was bored and a little lost. So if you're feeling lost, you know, maybe the direction you are pushed towards is actually something that will turn out to be something really good for you.
Or you should just head for the casino and literally let the chips fall where they may.
Oh, I was there too. I would go to the casino probably 5 days a week. So, yeah, been there, done that as well.
You know, one thing that pops when I listen to your show, beyond, you know, your knowledge, your preparation, is you have kind of a, what I call a joy of the job. So how important is it when folks tune in that they understand how much you just love this opportunity to talk sports, talk parlays, talk props, and just have fun and get paid for it?
Well, I think it's because I truly enjoy gambling. Like, there are a lot of people who came into the sports betting market that were just from a sports media background. No, I grew up, or I was, you know, somebody who was in the casino. I was actually betting on sports. And you've got to remember, when I was first starting doing this, I was pregnant. So imagine me, a pregnant woman at the casino, going up to the counter and be like, yes, I have six bets on the Masters that I would like to place. So I am a gambler through and through. I was doing it before it was the cool thing to do. So I feel like surely that is reflected, you know, maybe in our show. I am not doing it because it's something that, you know, there's more jobs in. It's because I truly enjoy betting.
Yeah, I get that. but you know, as far as the action, you know, the games or props you choose, you know, we frequently hear you talk about value, not going chalk, like, say, the Celtics this past NBA playoffs. So, Chelsea, when you're making your plays, kind of what's the thought process? Because, yeah, we're always looking for better odds, but you also have to incorporate who you actually think is going to be the winner.
Yeah, I think value is a really nuanced conversation, because it's very easy to say, okay, there's no value in the favorites. But sometimes there is value in the favorites. Like, think of that stretch in which Scottie Scheffler was winning, like, every single golf tournament. and maybe he was the favorite, but he's somebody that it feels like even when he's at his worst, he's incredibly dependable. So even, you know, when you're not betting on him to win outright, maybe you take a top five. And then on the flip side, I think where sometimes teams can be really overvalued is in baseball. And if you follow baseball as a sport, you know this. Even the worst team in baseball is going to win like 60 games a year. And even the worst team in baseball on a daily basis has a chance of beating the best team in baseball just because baseball is such a large sample size sport. So I feel like especially these days, the Dodgers are a team that routinely you have to either play them on the run line or something just because everybody knows that the Dodgers are like a blue chip, you know, stock. You're never going to get value. They're a good team. But this year, the injuries just keep mounting when it comes to their starting rotation. So when you see them like minus 160, for some of these guys are making their big league debut, like that doesn't feel like a very valuable, you know, bet to me when you're having to lay all that juice for a team that is pretty banged up.
Talking with Chelsea Messenger, the host of the Daily Tip right here, 7 to 9 a.m. on weekdays. I always like to bring this up. It's kind of a general thought. Even though we've progressed, there's still a boys club element in this business. And then if you add in gambling, I think it's more so. And you talked about some of the looks you got walking up to the window as a pregnant woman. How often do you kind of have to roll your eyes while getting sports or betting mansplained to you before they realize, oh, she knows way more than me?
I feel like I don't get it nearly as often as I used to.
Right.
Because I feel like I have pretty much established myself in the space. Because when you're first starting out, like, it felt like everybody, it was a gold rush. You know, everybody was starting in sports betting. So everybody was first to point out and say, oh, she doesn't know about sports betting. I was like, actually, I actually lived at a casino. So actually, I know what I'm talking about. And I've been doing this for quite some time. But just like anything that's on the internet, like there's always going to be, you know, the basement dwellers. And I think especially like gambling Twitter and gambling TikTok, it's like me trying to defend myself against like 19-year-old boys. And at some point you've got to draw the line, be like, okay, you know, I think I've heard the phrase that arguing with somebody on the internet is like wrestling with a pig. You both get dirty, but the pig likes it. So there's nothing that you get out of it. So I think that it has, you know, made me show some discipline in some areas that maybe you wouldn't expect when you're thinking of sports betting.
You know, as we continue with Chelsea, I want to hit on the WNBA, but from this angle, I've concocted a theory that maybe because of Caitlin or Angel, folks are tuning in for the first time, and then they're realizing, wow, Asia, Taurasi, Brianna, this league, these players, it's really compelling. And while they may have tuned in for a specific reason, fair to say they found a million reasons to stay tuned in.
Well, and also now we're seeing more betting options on the WNBA because so many people are requesting it. It used to be you could only bet on, you know, games and sides and totals, but now people love player props in the WNBA. I'm not going to say as much as the NBA, but it's been really popular. And here's the great angle there is a lot of props in the NBA and now the WNBA are very much narrative-based because think about in basketball, when a player has the hands in their ball, they can make the decision to shoot or, you know, do whatever. And especially like rebounding, that's like half of it's just effort and wanting to get the ball. And look at what Angel Reese has been doing, you know, over this stretch where she's had all these consecutive double-doubles. I feel like she has this drive inside her that's so, you know, passionate to prove people wrong that like she's making a lot of money for people who are betting on double-doubles and betting the over on her rebounding props. And same for even some of the supporting cast. Kennedy Carter, somebody who I had never heard of, and when you look at like her backstory, she has not had a great run at the WNBA before the season. She's having a great year, and she's somebody who's had the spotlight thrust on her because some of the things that maybe she said or did to Caitlin Clark. So from a betting standpoint, it's just another option, and the more options you have, you know, the better things can be.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed. People who 2 years ago, had no idea what any of this was, are now experts on minus 190. it really cracks me up. And it's also been like, this is what you decided to major in. A couple final thoughts for Chelsea, host of the Daily Tip weekday mornings right here. Obviously, as a media pro, you cover the big stories. And, you know, you're from Nashville. I believe you also worked in Florida for a time, SEC country. So the fan in you, what's your thought on this? It's the dawn of a new day. The playoff has expanded from 4 to 12 teams. What's your thought on that?
I think it's good for everybody. And I think from, you know, a larger perspective, obviously it levels the playing field for some of the teams that are like kind of on the fringes. But I don't think it even hurts some of these schools from the big conferences. Because do you see the SEC as a conference that's going to put in like less than four teams? Like, they're still going to get a ton of credibility and they're still going to get the upper hand just because they're the SEC. And especially now with adding Oklahoma and Texas, who are two great programs, super high on Texas this year. I know the SEC is going to be a big step up, but Texas, my God, the way they've been recruiting, I think it's going to be a great year for them. So I think it's good all around for the fans, for the teams. And once again, I think college football, it's still going to be one of those sports where like the big dogs eat. And there's not a ton of parity just because now with you know, the NIL deals, it's going to be the teams with the deepest pockets, which, you know, it kind of was before. You know, it's whoever wins the recruiting races. It is no shock when you see the recruiting rankings, and then you look 4 years from then, you're like, wow, these are the same teams that are competing for the national title. So it's good for everybody, but I don't think it's going to be that different in the grand scheme of things.
And, of course, once the playoffs start, the action, I think people are going to lose their minds. I want to close with the NFL. We know who the favorite is. The Chiefs picked up Xavier Worthy from Texas, added Hollywood Brown, and, of course, they kept Chris Jones critical. So I know you've been talking about it a bit on your show, that the Chiefs are the favorite. Who have you been talking about, I guess, as the major threats to dethrone this three-peat run?
Yeah, I think the major threat for the Chiefs is, and always has been, since Joe Burrow got to town, is the Bengals. Like, who's the one team that seems to have the number of the Kansas City Chiefs? It is Cincinnati. Even when they go on the road, that's the craziest thing. The year that the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, they had to do it the hard way. They didn't even, you know, get to play at home. So there is no team that has a higher ceiling to me than the Cincinnati Bengals. And if Joe Burrow can stay healthy, he is the one, you know, top-end quarterback that I feel like can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. I think he's 3-1 against the Chiefs in his career. So I will just be crossing my fingers and hoping that Joe Burrow stays healthy because, my God, my Titans, I don't know if it's going to be a great season for us. So maybe I'll just be rooting for the Bengals.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, so I anticipate the season as a fan looking for, I guess, other areas to find interest because I'm not brimming with optimism. Folks, she's Chelsea Messenger. Find her right here weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. They cover a bunch, all the action, entertaining, informative, a lot of fun. On Twitter, the handle is at Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, thanks so much for your time and your always interesting insights. You be well, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Fun stuff from Chelsea, checking in from Music City. Brings us to break time. Back with more 95.3 The Score.